Thank you and good morning. Last week, we began a series of lessons entitled Faith Under the Saving of the Soul. The writer of the book of Hebrews was writing to Hebrew Christians who were being pressured by the unbelieving Jews to forsake their faith in Christ and return to Judaism. He said to them in Hebrews 10, verse 39, "But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." In order for their souls to be saved, they needed to continue to live by faith. Well, what does it mean to have faith unto the saving of the soul? The Hebrew writer answers this question for us in Hebrews chapter 11. He defines faith in verse 1 and then proceeds to show us what it means to have this faith by showing us the effect this faith had in the lives of various men and women. He is saying that faith unto the saving of the soul is the faith that Abel had, and that Enoch had, and that Noah had, and that Abraham had, and that Sarah had, and so on through the chapter. As we consider the effect faith had in the lives of these men and women, we then learn what it means to have faith in our lives. Let's begin with Abel. Look with me in verse 4. It says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying by his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks." The faith that Abel had led him to offer a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. Cain and Abel, you see, were two sons of Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 2 we read that Cain was a tiller of the ground, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. In verses 3 through 5 it says, "And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell." Now notice, both Cain and Abel brought an offering to the Lord. Cain brought the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought the firstborn of his flock. Now God was pleased with Abel and his offering, but with Cain and his offering he was not pleased. Well, why was he pleased with one and not the other? Well, probably it had to do with what was offered, as well as with the manner or the condition of heart each had in the offering. Evidently, God had in some way let it be known to them what offering he desired. Abel offered that sacrifice, and Cain did not. Verses 6 and 7 says, "So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." Now notice, God says to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? The implication here is that Cain could have chosen to do well. He could have chosen to offer that sacrifice that was pleasing to God. The conclusion is that God had commanded a sacrifice. Abel did well and offered the sacrifice, and Cain did not. Also, Hebrews 11 verse 4 says that by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, Abel believed in God. He trusted God and therefore did what God said. A person of faith is one who trembles at the word of God and whose only question is, Lord, what will you have me to do? Well, Cain did not have this faith in God and therefore offered what he wanted rather than what God wanted. Well, Abel had this faith and he offered that which was pleasing unto God. And the Hebrew writer says, through which, that is, through Abel's faith, he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. So with faith, Abel was pronounced a righteous man. The application that we can make of this for our lives today is that if we have faith into the saving of the soul, we're going to be ones who will offer those sacrifices that are pleasing to God, just like Abel did. Faith will not lead us just to offer sacrifices, but it will lead us to offer those sacrifices that please God. The only way that we're going to know what sacrifices please God is by reading what He says in His Word, the Bible. We know that God does not want us to offer animal sacrifices today as Abel did and as were commanded under the law of Moses in the Old Testament. Those animal sacrifices were types of the Lamb of God who would come and offer Himself for our sins. Now that Jesus has offered Himself once for all, there's no longer a need for blood sacrifices. Read Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14, and also verses 23 through 26. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, Peter says, "You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, under the law of Moses, the priests constituted a special class to serve in the tabernacle and later in the temple, service which included the offering of animal sacrifices. Well, Peter here makes it clear that all Christians are priests, and these together constitute a holy priesthood. The kind of sacrifices which this holy priesthood is to offer is described as spiritual sacrifices, to distinguish them in nature and character from the sacrifices required by the law of Moses. These spiritual sacrifices are to be offered in the spiritual house, which is the church, of which Christians are living stones. Under the law of Moses, the priests offered animal sacrifices in a physical house, the temple. Well, today, Christians being priests are to offer spiritual sacrifices in a spiritual house, the church. And the church here is not the building, but the people of faith in whom God dwells. Well, we are a spiritual house, and we're to offer spiritual sacrifices. Well, what are spiritual sacrifices? Well, they are sacrifices that come from the heart in response to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. You know, God wants our hearts, our spirits. Even under the law of Moses, God did not want just an external offering, but He wanted their hearts. David wrote in Psalm 51, verses 16 and 17, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." You see, when they offered their sin offerings under the law of Moses, God's satisfaction could only arise from the spirit in which the offering was made, the self-renunciation, the contrite heart, the penitence. David says, "The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart." That was true then, and it is true today under the new covenant. James says in James 4, verses 8 through 10, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up." Those in the mind of James are those in sin. This is not a time for laughter, but a time for mourning and weeping. It is a time for a broken, a contrite, and penitent heart. That is what God wants when we sin. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Matthew 5, verses 3 and 4. Those who are poor in spirit are those who recognize their spiritual poverty because of sin. Those who mourn are those who mourn over sin. Those who are blessed are those who come to God with remorse for sin and with a penitent heart. You know, so many today regard lightly their sinful life. They brush it off as a trivial and inconsequential thing. Even some within the church commit sin and have no remorse for what they have done. But sin is against God. God hates sin. Sin is the instrument that killed Jesus, and sin is that which will send us to an eternal hell. Therefore, sin is not something that should be taken lightly. The sacrifice that is pleasing to God is that when we commit sin, we come to God with a broken and contrite heart, repenting of sin, and seeking His forgiveness. But also, as we consider the sacrifices that are pleasing to God, look with me in Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says, "Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." When Christians praise God and express in words their love, adoration, and gratitude unto God for what God has done for us, they're offering a sacrifice acceptable to God. This is praise and thanksgiving that comes from the heart. Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." The Lord wants us to sing praises to Him. And I might add that the Lord never in the New Testament Scriptures instructed His church to offer such praise and song with mechanical instruments of music. There is no example of the early church singing praises with mechanical instruments of music. The Lord only authorized singing and not the playing of musical instruments in our sacrifice of praise. Since the Lord did not give instruction to use mechanical instruments of music, then we, because of our faith in Him, do only what He authorizes. You know, someone might say, "But the Lord does not say not to use mechanical instruments of music." But when the Lord specifies what He wants in worship to Him, then that excludes everything else. When Jesus specified the elements of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the fruit of the vine, that excluded every other element. He did not have to go through a list of those items He did not want and specifically prohibit them. What He specified was enough for us to know what He wanted. Well, the Scripture says, "Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." This is offering spiritual sacrifices unto God. And those who have faith to the saving of the soul will offer only that which pleases God. But the Hebrew writer also says here in Hebrews 13, verse 16, "But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." You know, when Christians willingly give of their material possessions for the needs of others, they're offering sacrifices pleasing unto God. They from their hearts are showing their love to others by sharing what they have with others who have need. Well, this is a sacrifice in which God is well pleased. Well, these are some of the sacrifices that are pleasing to God. And the point that we're making today is that those who have faith unto the saving of the soul will offer these sacrifices. They will not devise their own sacrifices, but only that which God has authorized in His Word. We want to continue our study of Hebrews chapter 11 next week, the Lord willing, as we continue our study of what it means to have faith unto the saving of the soul. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, just give us your name and address along with the title of the program you would like a copy of, and we will be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. There are three ways that you may send in your requests. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our phone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. The address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.